For nine.
Thank you.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, providing a follow-up written report on the 2013 Plan of Correction for the Behavioral Health Division. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, thank you very much. Before you, I have printed off for my colleagues a copy of the communication I received from Director Colon. And that there was nothing on the Legistar, so. Right.
This is number nine.
Yes. This is, and just for the committee's sake, and I don't want to rehash anything, but so there was discussion during agenda setting as to whether or not committee chairs are able to ask for written reports from department heads, and Corporation Counsel seemed to believe that the law, although it said information, that we're able to ask for information, that information was verbal. And so I think that's one of the things, obviously, that we'll review on our own with and get legal advice on. Because I think there's a disagreement. It doesn't, the law just says information. It doesn't say verbal information. It doesn't say. All right, thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Taylor. So the long and the short of it is that I do believe that this will be one of the areas. Our chief of staff was involved in our agenda setting and is aware of the issues that arose. And again, Corporation Counsel did opine and say that they believed that I only had the right to ask for a verbal report. However, whoever's interpretation of the law, it says information. It does not say verbal information or
right.
Smoke signal or written. And so that's something, again, that once we have our legal people review it, we'll review and hopefully come to some understanding. But in the meantime, thank you, Director Colon, for providing this report. And he did, as stated, and I did give you a copy of what I received the day after agenda setting from Director Colon. All right. Go ahead, proceed.
So this report summarizes survey results for all three inpatient programs for the acute service, for Rehab Central, which is licensed as a nursing home, and for Hilltop, the ICFMR. There's a lot of detail in this report, and I'm going to let Jim kind of walk through the highlights of what the survey showed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Supervisors. This is a continuation, essentially, of a report that was offered in the May cycle, I believe, of Health and Human Needs. Before I go into too much detail in what's contained in this report, if I could just provide a short tutorial, a kind of a survey 101 in terms of what surveyors come in for into the facilities. There's essentially five reasons. There may be more, but there's essentially five reasons why a surveyor would come into an organization, either a nursing home, an ICFMR, or an acute service, either for a self-report. A self-report is when the facility themselves provides a report to the state that they are obligated to report based on something that occurred in the facility. Two and three are for a state certification and for a federal certification. So those are other reasons that surveyors would come in. Fourth reason is called a verification visit, where a plan of correction has been submitted, and the survey team will come in to verify that the corrective actions have actually been accomplished. And then the fifth is a complaint investigation, where an external entity submits a complaint either to the federal or state regulatory agencies. They will come in on those types of investigations as well.
Okay. All right. Since we just got this report today, do you want to go into the report a little bit in depth? But prior to that, Supervisor Stemper has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Out of those five reasons, which one does this refer to?
Each survey, it tells you in the body of the report why each survey occurred.
Yes.
So, for example, in the acute inpatient survey on the first page, this was a recertification survey. Okay. So they came to certify our programs for Medicare and Medicaid funding.
Okay. I've just been presented with two reports, so... Which one is the most current, and which one? What's the difference between these two reports?
There was one that I sent you immediately after the very next day that is not included on the letter. So basically, that's an updated one, the one you have before you today, and more comprehensive of the other findings that regarding acute, central, and also Hillman.
This one's a new one. Mm-hmm. Which one's the new one?
The one on the letter.
That one's.
This one.
Yes.
Okay. And when did we receive this one?
Today.
Okay.
This one we got today.
So
this one that you reported on before, right?
I'm sorry.
This one that was reported to us prior.
No, this is a continuation of what was reported on before, and I'm not sure that, what that one is.
That was the one that the director sent after agenda set.
To clarify, the reason why this report is before us today is because I had asked for a report last cycle. There was some confusion regarding that report that we had asked for. We ended up with a report just on state issues, not on every issue, which is what the intention was when I asked for it. So now we have the federal issues before us. So last cycle, the state, and this cycle, the federal.
Yeah, that clarifies it. Thank you.
Okay.
You agree with that, Director Colon? Okay. Thank you.
All right.
So what I'll be talking about essentially is the three levels of inpatient, as Director Eilers pointed out, the three, we'll call them inpatient levels of care at the Behavioral Health Division. The first one is the acute hospital. We underwent a full federal recertification survey from April 22nd through April 25th. There were two federal surveyors and a total of six state surveyors that simultaneously conducted the interview, so they were in the facility for a total of 4 days. Some came in, some came out, but there was a total of eight that conducted the full hospital review. A word about a federal recertification visit is those are always unannounced. We have no idea when they will come in, and they typically happen every 3 to 5 years. All hospitals have to go through a federal recertification visit, so this it was that's essentially the reason that they were there. We received a statement of deficiency in mid-May. The CMS SOD was received on May 15th. You get when there's a federal and a state survey, each one of them will supply their own. And when I say SOD, that means statement of deficiency. That's the report that the surveying entities generate. So we got the state one on May 17th and the federal one on May 15th. Plans of correction were submitted on May 24th. Many times when we get surveyed, the citations will overlap each other because they're different, what are called tags. So a state tag and a federal tag will have the exact same content to them, but will just be cited under different tags. The state plan of correction, now this is actually up to the second that we'll be presenting on today. The state plan of correction that was submitted on May 24th, we found out yesterday afternoon at about 4 o'clock that it was finally approved.
Okay.
the federal plan of correction, we understand, has not yet been approved. An unannounced verification visit from surveyors is expected to review progress towards these plans. My understanding is they arrived this morning. So the state plan was approved yesterday afternoon at 4-something, and they're in the hospital this morning.
And the state plan, I apologize, when was that submitted?
That was, the both plans were submitted on May 24th.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, what was the May 15th date?
May 15th date was when the federal statement of deficiency was received by the federal government.
Okay, thank you.
I talked in general about the types of citations that we received, and we received them under what would be considered kind of global categories of governing body, food, dietetic services, physical environment, and the medical record requirements. All deficiencies were at either the standard or condition level. Another tutorial on surveys is there are typically three levels of citations. The standard level is considered the lowest type of violation. A condition is a mid-level, and then an immediate jeopardy is the highest level of citation that you can receive. The key themes of the statement deficiencies, where we have a, and I'm on to page 2 of the document, we have a public cafe that has been at the Behavioral Health Division. It's had been under a number of different providers over the years. We learned as a result of this last survey that public cafe primarily serves employees has to be licensed under the hospital regs. We essentially weren't aware of that, but it's the case. That employee cafe did not meet the standards of the hospital regs for a number of reasons, and it has been closed and won't be reopened until those corrections are done. Infection control, we had some citations related to dust and cleanliness, expired or undated supplies. Then I talk in the highlighted section underneath that what our corrective actions will be. It's essentially redoing, specifying who is responsible for cleaning and who is responsible for what the dates of the things are that are in the refrigerators and in the clean utility rooms. I think I mentioned last year that the surveyor found an expired pudding in one of the refrigerators. When they find something like that, then you get a standard level citation for it. Signing, dating, and timing of medical record entries. Typically what most of this was about is we are in the transition from an electronic to paper to electronic, thank you. And in the electronic screen, there's an electronic signature. Because we're in the transition, those printouts didn't contain that electronic signature, so we were cited on that. We fixed that in the electronic medical record system, and now the paper printout has the electronic signature. We're transitioning over the month of June and July into a full electronic medical record implementation, so that should take care.
And that was my question, because the EMS was supposed to solve that problem.
Yes.
With the paperwork.
Right. And
okay.
In fact, it caused that problem. But it's part of the transition. They were signed, that just the signatures weren't contained in the paper document. While the surveyors were there, we changed every single document in the facility, but because it existed, we were cited on it. There was also some missing signatures on some different orders, so we're auditing all those, and those audits are ongoing. Food storage operation, there were some issues with food storage and sanitation. Food storage operation will be audited monthly by our dietary personnel and by our infection control practitioner. There's a lack of a nurse call system on the kids unit. That's our child adolescent inpatient unit. There is In full disclosure, there's never been a call system on our kids' unit. The decision was made apparently many, many years ago not to put one there because the kids kept using it. And we're calling people, calling the nursing staff down there. So those, I'm going to say 25 years ago or more, were eliminated. Surveyor found them and were cited on that. And that was cited at a condition level. Various environmental issues that required maintenance and repair. This is kind of the big ticket item for this survey. We have, if the full CMS survey was 100 pages, about 15 of those pages were related to the dating and the timing, and the balance of it were for all environmental issues. And they go through in very, very minute detail, the facility. We also got some citations for our building across the street that has dietary that is where they make the food and things like that. So they look at the production facility as well. A lot of the maintenance projects are underway. We do not know what the final cost of this will be. Our big cost item is going to be the call lights and getting those installed on the units. Because this is some of this will take a while to get fixed, we'll bring cost estimates as we get them. So as I finish, before I go on to the next one, that's pretty much it for the acute survey. We also received a federal citation for treatment planning that I neglected to include in this. It was a treatment planning language. They wanted more specific to the individual. That was also, I believe, at either one of the standard or condition levels. I'm not recalling which one it was. Moving on to our Rehab Central, which is our nursing unit. That's going to be a little bit longer. Because beginning in January 8th, and then they came back on January 15th. Rehab Central participated in an annual recertification visit for the nursing homes. That occurs every year. So every year we have a recertification visit that's conducted by state surveyors. So DQA came in January, and the Rehab Central received standard level citations for all those deficiencies that were noted. There were environmental issues that included door latches. I'm not going to understand what some of these were about because they were the environmental folks, but the frequency that motors were inspected or something like that, we were cited on that, and holes in ceiling tiles. There were several citations regarding completion of what is called a minimum data set on the nursing home. This is required paperwork for all nursing home residents, and there were some citations on that they were not complete or that there were other various issues. Also, that was a standard level citation. Pressure ulcer and insomnia assessments was another. There was some deficits noted in those types of assessments. Medication administration, there was an incident where medication was crushed and they did not need to be crushed. And dishwasher temperatures. So the dishwasher either was too hot or not hot enough. I'm not sure which one it was. So that was the extent of the central citations. Again, all citations are important. All citations must be corrected, but in the great scheme of things, those are pretty low-level ones. The plan of correction was submitted prior to January 18th. On February 8th, we were informed the plan of correction was approved. And for these low-level citations, often they do not do a verification visit. They just accept our plan of correction, and then they say mission accomplished. So that was what occurred with that citation. Then, on February 27th, CMS conducted a federal monitoring service. Now, I didn't include that in my description of the types of surveys that typically come in because I'm going to discuss that now. A federal monitoring survey, according to our understanding, is a follow-up survey to a state audit, a state survey. So the state reports to the feds. state is many of the states are contracted surveyors for federal regulations. So this was CMS that came in behind the state citation and did and conducted a full survey. This is the first time Rehab Central has ever had a follow-up CMS survey in its 20-year-plus history. So we had no idea that this was coming again. It was completely unannounced. So what we had essentially is two CMS surveys that came in within the span of a couple months of each other. We had no control over that, no impact, and no idea that those were coming. It was just kind of a confluence of surveyors that were coming at virtually or within a couple months of each other. So as a result of this federal monitoring survey, there were additional deficiencies noted, and those were noted at the immediate jeopardy level, which, as I mentioned, were the highest level that you could be assessed violations at. These citations were primarily related to that the facility failed to identify ways to prevent future restraint use. The facility failed to ensure that residents were free from resident-to-resident abuse, failed to report all allegations of abuse and ensure those allegations were adequately investigated, and that the facility failed to develop policies that prohibit abuse of residents. So a key theme that's present through almost all of these citations was the federal definition of abuse. The facility had been defining abuse, and this is a key distinction and it can't be underemphasized, that resident-to-resident abuse that results in injury is defined as abuse. The federal inspection defined abuse as any action that could result in physical harm, pain, or psychological distress. So this was a significantly lower threshold than the nursing home had been functioning under for really its entire existence. So subsequently, as a result of this lower threshold, there were many more incidents that were not reported to the state and that were not investigated to the extent required by statute. So a removal plan was submitted to CMS, and it was subsequently accepted on March 8 of 2013. On March 12th, CMS arrived to review progress made regarding the removal plan. Let me back up. In immediate jeopardy, an acceptance of what's called a removal plan is a removal of the immediate jeopardy. So that immediate jeopardy was removed on March 8th. Then they came back, the feds came back 4 days later to make sure that we were doing what we needed to do. They left at that time with no further citations. But they did inform us that additional lower-level citations would be arriving shortly. The next day, on March 14th, additional citations were received associated with that federal 27th CMS monitoring survey. So in addition to those immediate jeopardy-related tags, there we also got other of these standard and condition-level citations that stated we failed to post the survey results on the unit. That's a requirement. That was immediately done. We were not providing weekend activities. There was issues with the shower temperatures. There was failure to protect residents from falls and self-harm. Apparently that was related to a treatment plan not being updated. Failure to post staffing information. In the nursing home, you're supposed to pass or post what the staffing information is. Failure to include physician participation in QI activities and some additional various environmental issues. A plan was submitted for all citations, and that plan was accepted on April 12th. Then there was a follow-up to this federal survey and an extended complaint survey that was conducted by the state of Wisconsin on behalf of CMS. So this is now, CMS is no longer, it did not come in for this one. This was the state that came in wearing essentially a CMS hat. They were reviewing the surveys. So what they came in on is, it's a follow-up to the federal survey is one, and then they came in on a complaint, self-report complaint. So we had submitted a number of self-reports to the state. They came in to investigate those complaints. That's fairly standard. That survey began May 1st and was completed on May 9th. During this survey, the facility received an immediate jeopardy on May 7th. This was then removed on May 8th. After the removal of that IJ, the citations were reissued at lower levels. The facility received the statement of deficiency for all those lower levels citations on May 22nd. That plan of correction was submitted June 3rd. We received word on June 7th that the plan of correction was approved. And following are some of the key components to the statement of deficiency and the plan of correction that was submitted. So the key themes of that immediate jeopardy that we received in May was there's a particular resident who was involved in several incidents of threatening and violent behavior. That began on April 12th. Then on April 22nd, that resident was moved to the acute service. The surveyors felt that there was not adequate adjustment to the treatment plan, and that those incidents that there was not sufficient adjustment to the treatment plan for those incidents. There were also episodes of verbal physical aggression that did not result in plan of care revision. There were also episodes of verbal or physical aggression that were not investigated sufficiently. Reports were filed with the state, but they did not include witness statements. So an additional word on number three is we had conducted a review and investigation. What we needed to provide was witness statements of all staff that were on the unit. We did not include all staff that were on the unit. If a staff member was not in, did not have direct bearing on the incident, we didn't get witness reports. But we have to get witness reports even if they weren't involved, because they have to say where they were. And we didn't do that in those situations. There were also two episodes of verbal threats that were not reported to the state. So that immediate jeopardy was removed, I believe, within 14 hours after they received the plan of correction. And then typically what happens in nursing homes, when you do receive higher levels of citation, there are fines that are attached and fines that are levied. It speaks in this next session in the italics what the level of those fines will be. We do have the ability to appeal those fines, but we're receiving counsel that it would be better to just not appeal the fines, because if you don't appeal the fines, you get an automatic 35% reduction in the fines. So at this point, we're seeing that that's a preferable option, but we do have till towards the end of July to make that final determination. So some of the steps that were taken to correct all of the above issues include, but are limited to, all clients are being discharged. So this plays into some of the issues that we're experiencing on one specific nursing home unit. And that nursing home unit is, what we try to do is divide folks up based on behavioral characteristics as much as we can. There's a unit that we have our more aggressive folks, our more aggressive residents. That's the unit that we probably have 90% of our issues with. So what we're doing now is, as folks are being successfully discharged to the community, we're not filling those beds. And we're at the point now where they are all in single room status. That in and of itself has helped significantly, just giving them more space. We're adding additional therapy staff on the weekends, and this additional therapeutic programs are also added during nights. Any resident inflicting injury to another is immediately removed from the unit and transferred to a facility more appropriate to their needs, specifically the acute care unit. So that's going on as we speak, where we initiated a new incident and investigation review team that's specifically dedicated towards these investigations. Let's see. On June 10th, the state surveyors arrived for a verification visit. When I finished this document about 5 o'clock last night, they were still there, and we just found out they have left, and we are clear of all citations on Central, which is really, really good news. I got the call while I was sitting back there. We're clear. All our Central citations are now cleared, so we have no...
And Rehab Central, that's one area of the hospital.
The nursing home.
That's the nursing home.
It's licensed as a nursing home.
What percentage of those citations are attributed to the Rehab Central?
What I just described, the ones that all involve reporting to the state, definitions of abuse, the immediate jeopardies, all of those were on Rehab Central.
Thank you.
So any other questions on Central, and I'll finish up with Hilltop.
Real quick, Jim, is everything in here?
Everything's in there.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm just kind of walking through it page by page. On the Hilltop unit, we regularly get state survey visits for self-reports. It happens several times a year. It's nothing that's unusual. What Director Colon alluded to before is absolutely accurate. You got the county board is typically not made aware when they come in for those types of visits, nor is he, because it's been seen as routine. That will change, and now notification will go out immediately when they're there and when they exit as to what the consequences of the survey will be.
Yeah, real quick, I hope you don't mind me asking a question during the report. But during these surveys and these investigations, who's there at the complex? Who's there to, I guess, give them, watch them, or how many people come in? What kind of setup is it?
The nursing home administrator, mm-hmm. the director of nursing, social work staff, psychology staff, especially in Rehab Central and in Hilltop, sit with surveyors and keep an eye on them, and also facilitate them getting the information they need.
Okay. Do you ever ask questions in order to maybe fulfill a citation right there, then and there? If we answer a question correctly,
yeah.
Is there who's on staff right there that can answer that question with the highest highest duty?
The nursing home administrator would probably be the person who knows the most about the regulations and can respond to a surveyor question. On the other hand, if it's a clinical question, then one of the psychologists or the nurse or social work would, respond.
Are they equipped to answer it? Do they
know?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, okay. They do know.
We also have a director of clinical compliance who would be here today, but is back at the hospital with both survey teams this mm-hmm. morning. And it really, the additional answer to that question is it depends on what the questions are. Well, there's engineers that walk around with our engineers. There's, if it's a nurse that's doing the survey, we try to put that nurse surveyor with our director of nursing, and then our director of clinical compliance really kind of oversees the process for all areas.
Has there been any immediate calls to Ms. Eilers or to you, Jim? Or to Director Colon, like we need to answer this right away, or we need to handle this right away.
I'm almost always involved with them when they come.
All right, thank you.
And we go, like most times, if it's a lengthy survey, they do a kind of wrap up at the end of each day, mm-hmm. and we go to that to hear what they're thinking and what they're thinking about citing, and to see if we can provide more information and avert that.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a question. Were any of the units or divisions that we received complaints in, the units that were already approved for closing on the floor?
Yes.
Which ones were those?
the central units, the nursing home units, and the ones that the Hilltop units that I've not talked about yet.
Okay, and you're still going to go into mm-hmm. the Hilltop units. Okay, and I'll wait till I listen to the rest of the information before I go forward.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to understand a self-complaint, are the self-complaints for the reason of ensuring that we corrected the problem rather than just going to correct it and knowing that we have done it right, or are they just to make sure that we've done it right?
B,
okay.
Just to make sure we've done it right.
Okay.
So a self-report, and this is kind of the lion's share of the issue on Central, is the definition of what we self-report changed. We didn't self-report patient-to-patient abuse when it was verbal, or we didn't report patient-to-patient abuse when there was no injury that resulted. This was
we simply didn't define that as abuse. So if I shouted at you and said, get out of my way, we didn't report that. Now what they're asking is that you report that.
Really?
Really.
Okay. So
our,
I guess
the number of our reports to the state since our immediate jeopardy has increased unbelievably, quite a bit. I don't know. I can't tell you what the reports are, but we typically reported about one or two maybe a month, and I think we're doing 10 or 15 a week now.
Is that because of the audit?
Yes.
They want
to
monitor
compliance. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So. It's a new day.
Under a microscope.
So for the Hilltop, if I can continue, on May 21st and May 22nd, we received an unannounced survey. This survey was in response to some self-reported incidents that occurred on the unit. As a result of this survey, we received 4 standard level citations. The plan of correction is due on June 14th, and it is not yet complete. I think it's done in draft form, but it's not complete yet. There was the citations were revolving an investigation that didn't contain statements from all staff. The facility did not specify a specific program plan, and that was related to active treatment. There has to be active treatment on the Hilltop units. And there was not adequate nursing services after an allegation of abuse. And I'm seeing that I messed up on those numbers. But essentially there was there was some tags, and then there's sub tags underneath those, but they all refer back to the same incident. And again, those are standard levels. What we're anticipating is that if the plan of correction is approved as submitted, they more than likely will not return for a verification visit. But we don't know that yet. That's up to their discretion. That's where we're at.
Okay, Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm trying to understand what's the delay. The board has already moved forward on a number of units to close, and there are still units that are open. Maybe we can go through some of the challenges that the department is facing in getting those individuals other placements.
Sure. I'll speak a little bit to that. There, with regards to Hilltop, Family Care has a lot of these individuals already enrolled in their respective agencies, and they have been a little bit slow in terms of finding placement for these individuals. They want to make sure that they find the right placements to ensure that the proper supports are in place, to ensure that the transition is successful. So we've had meetings with the care management organizations to kind of talk about this, and also to see what their plans are for developing the necessary capacity. And so we feel encouraged. Those conversations, went well. But right now, as it relates to Hilltop, which is 100% Family Care eligible, it's really the responsibility of the Family Care entities to provide them with that capacity and support. in order to ensure that this is done successful. So there we kind of don't have the control to really move forward with getting these individuals in the community. As it relates to Central, the focus right now has been Hilltop, but in Central we have more people that are family care, that are not family care eligible. So we do have some ability to move some of those people in the community, and we have a plan to have 10 of those individuals move into the community this year and another 14 next year. So for those that we have that are not family care eligible, we have a little bit more flexibility to move those in the community. But the ones that are not, we're kind of reliant on the family care entities.
So it's family care that needs to, I guess, get more things going on their end. Okay.
And in fairness, it's not just our own Milwaukee County family care. I'm talking about generally family care, which includes the other care management organizations. Mm-hmm. Our own family care does have the majority of the clients, but other care management organizations also have some of those clients as well.
Gotcha. And I guess I'll also ask of Ms. Eilers, what things have you done in your tenure to try to, I guess, push some of those things forward? Because it sounds like we're putting out fires while other ones are starting, and it's kind of redundant.
Right. Well, I think what we have really tried to do, as Director Colon said, is meet with the family care agencies, and we have worked really hard on providing them all the data about these clients and making sure that the assessments of these clients are up to date so that the family care organization is absolutely clear about who these people are and what supports our clinical staff believe they need. And I think then the other thing is that we have worked really hard in Central to talk with Community Services Branch and to create the placements for people from Central that we have a responsibility for placing. One of the things that's happened, of course, is that the people who were in Central who created the most citations, we moved to the acute service. So now you have those people kind of stuck in acute, and so we need to figure out, it's kind of a balancing act about the people, moving the people in acute out of acute, so we have the capacity there for people who really are in need of acute treatment, not just aggressive and in need of longer care, longer term supports. So on both fronts, the Community Services Branch is working really hard to create placements, and Jerry Lyday is involved a lot in that effort in terms of helping us create placements for these people. The goal was to close one unit in Hilltop this year, and we were hoping to do that by the end of June. I think the best guess now is that will happen by August 1st. And that next year we would close one Rehab Central unit by the middle of 2014. So, you know, we're a little behind on the Hilltop side in terms of the number of clients that have been placed, but we have had assurances from the family care agencies that they thought they could get this done by August.
And I think you already talked to some of the corrective action plan items. Which one of those pertain to staff, and some of the staff changes have been made, so a number of these assaults can be prevented.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, as it relates to the staff, it's primarily about getting those, the citations I'll talk about specifically, it's primarily about getting those investigations done in a timely manner and in a comprehensive way, getting the treatment plans updated in order to prevent future occurrences. That's what the focus has to be. We have brought in some additional psychology time because this is going to be a big demand on the psychologist that's up there, so we've got another 0.5 position per psychologist. And in terms of the investigation, we've essentially put together an investigation team. It really fell to the nurse manager, those investigations, and it's much too big a job for one person. So we've now established an investigation team. The other piece that can't be underemphasized is as the density of the population decreases, the incidents decrease. So we're not, as Central has always done a pretty good job of discharging folks. So they average about 12 to 15 discharges a year. It's not as a long-term placement as one would think Hilltop is. So as we're discharging folks, we're not filling those beds. So that is spreading out the population a little bit better. We had a lot of roommate issues, particularly on our higher intensity unit that we don't have anymore now that they're all in single rooms.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other comments or questions from committee? Supervisor Stemper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Oz, in your experience, would you say that this is normal, or are they, Supervisor Schmidt feels like they're nitpicking on some of the stuff? I don't know how to assess this, you know, compared to other complexes, compared to other investigations and audits. What level on a scale is this? Is this very, very, very bad, or is this normal, or is this just what happens?
I create a little bit of historical context here. What the kinds of patients who are in Rehab Central used to be in what was called an Institute for Mental Disease. And that was something that recognized that these people had a mental illness. And the federal government declared that you couldn't get any reimbursement from the federal government in an Institute for Mental Disease. And I remember when they sent tons of surveyors here who walked around our buildings, and then we had many buildings, to prove that the people who lived there had a mental illness. Well, okay, you wouldn't have needed a lot of people to do that, but nevertheless, that's what they did. And then they declared you an Institute for Mental Disease, which meant the federal money disappeared. In response to that, counties, not just this one, but counties licensed those institutions as nursing homes, right? Because then you could get some federal money. The problem with that over the years has been that nursing home regulations are designed to assess the care in what you or I would think of as a typical nursing home. So in my last life, we had a regular nursing home. And we actually, 2 years in a row, got deficiency-free surveys. Now, that's because the kinds of behaviors that our residents engage in, if those happened in my other life in that nursing home, that would be a really big deal. I mean, you know, if I had residents pushing each other or shouting at each other, that would be a cause for concern that somehow we hadn't done what we needed to do. So I think there's two issues. One is we are a nursing home, and so we need to meet the regulations of a nursing home. We need to do that consistently. I think our staff would say that the number of visits has been out of the ordinary, that there have been more visits than usual. I do think those things kind of snowball. If you have a visit and it doesn't go well, you trigger more visits. But we're committed to, the staff is committed too, to making sure that we meet the regulations. But it is not an easy thing to do when the people you're caring for are not the people the regulations were designed for. Now, doesn't make any difference in some ways because you're taking the revenue and you're licensed that way, and so you need to meet those regulations. But I think going forward, what Jim said is really important. The density issue is part of what creates the problem. too many, I mean, most of us know that living in a family is tough. I mean, there's times when just being in a family is tough. There are other times when, if you think about living with 23 other people, who some of whom are psychotic, some of whom are impulsive, it's just a powder. It can be a powder keg. And I think that as we discharge people to more appropriate settings, two things will happen. One is you'll see that person's behavior improve in the community because there will be a whole new way of living and being. And the other is you will see, as Jim said, the incidents go down on the units because there won't be so much chaos. So that's a long answer, but I think we're committed to meeting these standards. And the fact that they just cleared us in Rehab Central in the nursing home is a wonderful accomplishment by the staff up there. They have really worked hard to do that and deserve a lot of credit for doing it.
Absolutely. If I could add just a little piece to this. I've been a part of administrative, as in when I've been in the administrative arm of BHD for CMS surveys, and I'm going to as a prelude to this comment, I'm going to say no citations are minor, no citations don't deserve our full attention. But if I would compare this most recent acute full CMS audit to the other ones I've been a part of, this was a very good survey. We've been a part of other.
In what way?
Well, in prior surveys that I've been a part in, they had a price tag of multiple millions of dollars that were attached to it, where we had to completely retrofit the whole acute ward with different doors. And you, those of you who have been on the board for a while, remember those days where we had to come before you asking for a boatload of money to pay for the fixes. When I put this in comparison to some of those surveys, it's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. It still needs to be fixed, but it's not bad. And as it relates to this, the federal, what's called a follow-along survey to the state, that's unusual for us, but it's not unusual in the country. This is something that the federal government does in nursing homes throughout the country. It just happens to be the first time it's happened to us. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how comfortable we want to get with just saying that we had a successful survey because it didn't cost a lot of money, but I understand where you're coming from that perspective. I think the frustration that we feel is that, you know, we were very supportive of the intensive treatment unit and the women's unit, and, you know, as we sit here in committee at 10:22 a.m., you know, the Journal Sentinel wrote an article about patient assaults, and we're still going through, you know, this whole, you know, and then we're still hearing about staff being abused, and so we, you know, patient assaults in regards to the, or that prompted the visit from the feds. So it's, and so.
That's the nursing home.
Okay. And again, you know, it's just, I guess what we would like is we would like to know what it is that we can do that we're not already doing so that we don't have those reports. And I understand, I was a certified nurse assistant once upon a time. I have a medical background, worked in nursing homes, worked in hospitals, and so I understand these things do happen in nursing homes. You do sometimes get patients, especially if they have dementia and other things going on, that will or can be physically aggressive or just even physical with people to the point that it makes people uncomfortable. So I get that. But, I mean, when we have people, you know, ramming their wheelchairs into each other or physically fighting with each other, beating each other, using profanity at each other, you know, and especially the specific incidents that's cited in the newspaper today is one specific patient where there was repeated, issues. And so from a policymaking perspective, I think what we'd like to know is how do we address this over and above intensive treatment units and over and above, you know, and I'm kind of, and I understand you're closing units and that's great, but I'm kind of, you know, that doesn't help us with today. I want to know what are we doing today that helps us 2 to 3 years out, and actually it doesn't really help us because all we're doing is we're taking the problem and we're moving it somewhere else. So I think, you know, that's where the frustration lies is we understand, at least I understand, and I think the majority of the committee understands, most of us having been around for a while, you know, that the state's coming in and the federal government's coming in, and we've, you know, had incidents that deserve scrutiny. And so we're not saying, don't look at us. You know, we're welcoming that because we have specific spaces where we need to improve. But I think, you know, again, from a policymaking perspective, I'd like to know what it is that we can do. Can we hire a private surveyor to come in and give us recommendations on what to do? Can we form a work group and have the, you know, staff come in and sit down, and then the nurses come in and sit down, and maybe a couple of us sit down and really take a look at the hospital and figure out what can we do in order to improve these conditions? Because there are, you know, every county across the state has nursing homes. Every county across the state, I mean, they run actual nursing homes. You don't hear about this type of stuff in the newspaper. You know, we have Mendota. Not that I don't ever hear bad things about Mendota and things that happen to them, I don't hear about them on a regular basis. So it's either that our media is giving us special scrutiny or that we have higher incidence and therefore have bigger problems. How do we address these problems?
I think, Madam Chairman, I think the things that Mr. Kubitschek outlined under the central thing in terms of steps being taken to address these issues really outlines what we've done, and it's clear that that has been a way to remediate the situation. I wouldn't tell you that it will, you know, we won't ever have some of these incidents happen again, but I think people have stepped it up. And staff, I do want to be clear, staff at all levels are involved in that. The conversation on the unit involves nurses, nursing assistants, as well as psychologists and physicians. And so they are involved in that. And the letter that Director Colon and I sent to staff about accountability was clear. We wanted to make it clear to staff that they had a role to play in this. That, you know, it is the responsibility, if you hear someone involved in that kind of an altercation, to take an action. And so we wanted to be sure that kind of all staff knew what the responsibility was and that they needed to understand the citations and be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
I think the issue, though, I mean, and I read that memo, and although I thought it was a little harshly worded, I get it. But I think that's only just one piece of the puzzle. The other part of it is that staff are sometimes being attacked as well. They're being assaulted as well. And I don't think that that should be ever part of someone's job description. And I've been here for 9 years. I've heard about these incidents for 9 years. As far as the sexual assaults go, and I understand that because some of the reporting comes from the sheriff, it is being a little bit, the reporting is being exaggerated. We're reporting because we want to be open and we want to have, you know, documentation of things. But, you know, the other part of that is that then you have the federal government and the state come in and say, yeah, you know, you do have issues here. And so because this was only brought to our attention, was it 2010? You know, and again, we thought that we had sufficiently addressed that issue so that, not that it will never happen again, because we're dealing with human beings, and it's just like being a parent. You address something, you think you probably won't see it again. You probably will see it again, maybe a couple more times. But, you know, what have you done? What have we done to really curb that and to really make sure? I know one time I was out at BHD. We had a nurse assistant who was checking on people. I think it was every half an hour, every 15 minutes. You know, are we still doing that stuff? Have we become laxed? You know, have we, did we put great things in place that were working, and then we said, oh, well, you know what, we've alleviated that situation and then stopped doing things? What, you know?
If I can just kind of make a distinction between the acute service and the central. In acute, it's my firm belief that things are working well there. And I believe that our most recent CMS audit underscores that. You know, if you get a citation on dating and timing, and that's pretty much the extent of your clinical citations, that's mm-hmm. a pretty good survey. As it relates to the long-term care or the nursing home, at least my takeaway, and I won't say what anyone else's should be, is that it's a new standard that we're being held to. It's not for good, bad, or indifferent. It's a standard that we're going to uphold, and it's a standard that we're going to maintain, but it's not a standard that we've been held to for in the past. As a result of our state recertification series, now that the feds came in, there's a new standard, and we will uphold those new standards. And there was we have to get to the point where our resources meet those needs. So I guess to answer your query, on the nursing home, it's something that we're on an ongoing basis looking at how we're resourced up there, and is there enough? Is there enough treatment team time? Is there enough management time up there? Is there enough investigation time? Because all those things help to solve the problem. Is our staff trained adequately? We retrained them all three or four different times as a result of these corrective actions. Is it enough? We'll have to wait and see. Right now, our surveyors are saying, yes, we're in good shape. And I guarantee you with absolute certainty they would not unless we were. We are not getting a pass. We are being held to a very high level of compliance. So they would not have told us the citations are lifted had they not seen, and just seeing in an email, the surveyors saw dramatic improvement. Now it's our job to keep going.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to prolong this, but I hear the points that you're making, and I guess I've never seen numbers that suggest if we were staffed right, how much that would be. I mean, I'm a policymaker. I pass policy. I create pass budgets, right? And I know we're making a large transition right now in how mental health will work in the county, but I'm also looking at safety reasons as
right.
well. And if there is a direction that we can go to even make sure that the safety of residents out in these units is increased to at least a stabilized level, I would be okay with supporting a plan like that and seeing data that would say, you know, that the county board can take this direction or Milwaukee County can take this direction, and it will cost this much. And every time I hear resources, I always think about money.
Of course.
So I haven't seen that type of information, and if that information came to this committee, that would be favorable to at least make sure that we are protecting residents and giving them dignified services in mental health. I think that's important. And even if we can make steps to get going in that direction in pieces or in a balanced way, I'd love to go in that direction. But it's just very hard to hear that essentially your residents are being treated that way. The more that we can do to address that, I agree with the chairwoman, it's more than just where you have these individuals placed or what type of services, but I think we need to figure out some type of urgent plan to move forward. So that's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Mr. Kubitschek, what happened with the nurse recruiter that was hired, I believe, by Mr. Cianelli? Is that nurse recruiter still present? The first, 4 years that I was here, the only thing we discussed was staffing levels. I swear, every single meeting, we discussed staffing levels and overtime. And I see Ms. Lyday shaking her head because she remembers him. Supervisor Johnson probably still has some of those reports on his desk because he was on Health and Human Services then. And we discussed it, I'm serious, probably every meeting. But then when Mr. Cianelli took the reins, he did hire... It was either Mr. Cianelli or Mr. Hill. One of those two had hired a nurse recruiter, and I thought we were making progress with that. I don't know what happened. It looks like Alex can answer that for us.
Anybody else? Madam Chair, supervisors, I just wanted to say two things to that. First, we have come to this committee previously and created, if I'm not mistaken, 35 CNAs in response to many of the staffing issues, which resulted in the reports, the ongoing staffing reports. We do have a nurse recruiter. We have a staffing office that is still working on that. I don't believe, in terms of the budget matching up with the nursing staff in the building, it seems to match up. Now, this is a newer set of citations that we haven't had a chance to react to, but historically we have done that and come to you with a plan of how to staff that. We do it immediately and come to you with how we're going to do that on an ongoing basis.
Typically how these work is we don't have the luxury of going through the process and getting new positions requested, approved, and filled in the context of a plan of correction. You roll up your sleeves and you do it with the people that you have available. So, I can't say that that's going to be an ask because it may be, but I'm not sure. The none of the citations were related to staffing level.
Okay. Thank you. That was an informational report on very thorough. So thank you very much. Unless somebody has any additional comment, question, and concerns, we will adjourn. Thank you very much for everybody's patience today. Smitty, are you okay? You doing okay with that?
I did.